The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Justice be my guide, I seek my way, lead me into this tender day, speak through me in all I do and say. Fortune and famine ride the swift winds of chance, sorrow and pleasure seem united in dance. Web of life, may this thread I weave, mingle compassion with all I believe. Mercy be my guide as I seek my way, lead me into this tender day. Speak through me in all I do and say.
Now, Lizzie Vina has a special presentation for our Moment for All Ages this morning, a celebration of faith development, volunteers, and programs at the Thomas Paine UU Fellowship.
Folks, what I have to share with you today is my love letter to all of you as we celebrate the volunteers and the programs of our past year together. I hope you enjoy this.
Thanks, Lizzie, for that trip down memory lane. Thanks to you for all you've done. Now, you've noticed how so many of the slideshow photos included Flat Sophia, a two-dimensional image of Sophia Lyon Foss, the lioness of progressive, person-centered faith development, who died in 1978 at the age of 101. Sophia Foss is unsurpassed in articulating essential qualities of our Unitarian Universalist faith. The following excerpts from her 1952 Beacon Press classic, Children and Yesterday's Heritage, eloquently express not just the kind of faith we seek to develop, but also why such a faith matters. Please join in reciting her words. Lizzie will lead you in reciting the italicized responses. for this responsive reading. Some beliefs are like pleasant gardens with high walls around them. They encourage exclusiveness and the feeling of being especially privileged.
Other beliefs are expansive and lead the way into wider and deeper sympathies.
Some beliefs are like shadows, darkening children's days with fears of unknown calamities.
Other beliefs are like sunshine, blessing children with the warmth of happiness.
Some beliefs are divisive, separating the saved from the unsaved, friends from enemies.
Other beliefs are bonds in a world community where sincere differences beautify the pattern.
Some beliefs are like blinders, shutting off the power to choose one's own direction.
Other beliefs are like gateways, opening wide vistas for exploration.
Some beliefs weaken a child's selfhood. They blight the growth of resourcefulness.
Other beliefs nurture self-confidence and enrich the feeling of personal worth.
Some beliefs are rigid, like the body of death, impotent in a changing world.
Other beliefs are pliable, like the young sapling, ever growing with the upward thrust of life.
It does indeed matter what people believe. It matters what we believe. Our beliefs as you use may be harder to pin down than beliefs of members of most faith communities. Yes, we have our seven principles to guide us in formulating our beliefs, but one of those principles is to affirm and promote in all of us a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Now, we aren't free to believe whatever we want. What we are compelled in conscience to do is to embrace truly and responsibly beliefs consistent with our UU principles. But we have no creed to recite each Sunday, do we? We have no single set of I believe statements that determine whether we can legitimately claim membership in this faith community. But I can say with some confidence, having embraced Unitarian Universalism now for very close to 45 years, that the overwhelming majority of UUs function quite well without such articles of faith, without absolutes that can't be questioned or challenged. Yeah, UUs seek the light, but they aren't afraid of the dark or afraid of the tangled forest of faith in which doubts play and hide. And our beliefs, unlike those of many in other religious communities, don't derive from a single source of wisdom and spiritual guidance. No testament revealed hundreds or even thousands of years ago to a select small group of human beings. We are free to derive our beliefs from the traditions of all world religions, from the Judeo-Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, and Aboriginal traditions, from earth-centered traditions, that celebrate the sacred circle of life and teach us how to live in harmony with nature. We're also free to derive wisdom and spiritual guidance from the humanities, from philosophy and the arts, and from the sciences. But most importantly, we're empowered to derive belief from our own authentic experience of the mystery and wonder of the created world. That transcending mystery and wonder that renews the spirit and opens it to the forces that create and sustain life. This reliance on direct experience as a primal source of faith, the self-reliance promoted by our esteemed UU ancestor, Ralph Waldo Emerson, is a defining characteristic of our UU faith. It aligns us with more spiritual, mystical religious movements and with marginalized and oppressed peoples. Of course, along with our tolerance for differing points of view, these characteristics set us up at times to be the brunt of a joke or two, or two dozen or 200. I'm sure you've heard, for example, that the perfect bumper sticker for the fleet of UU Priuses would read, "Punk, if you're not sure." Or maybe you heard how a UU responded to the charge that UUs deny the divinity of Jesus. "That's not true," replied the UU. "We don't deny the divinity of anyone." And then there's that satirical turn on the old, "How many does it take to change a light bulb" shtick. How many UUs does it take to change a light bulb? The answer, drum roll please, is we choose not to make a statement either in favor of or against the need for a light bulb. However, if in your own journey you have found that light bulbs work for you, that is wonderful. You are invited to write a poem or compose a modern dance about your personal relationship with your light bulb. Present it next month at our annual Light Bulb Sunday service, in which we will explore a number of light bulb traditions, including incandescent, fluorescent, three-way, long life, and tinted, all of which are equally valid paths to luminescence. Now, of course, we need to add LED to the list of light bulb traditions to explore on Light Bulb Sunday. Enough said. This morning, though, we're focused not so much on what we believe as UUs, but on our path to belief, on lifespan faith development as practiced here at Thomas Paine and throughout the UU faith community. But really, the two are inseparable. UU faith development is designed to encourage and support a responsible search for truth and meaning in our lives and throughout our lives. So UU faith development programs and activities look and feel quite different than those promoting indoctrination and rigid adherence to dogma. Which prompts me to offer a few thoughts here about Sophia Lyon-Faas and the influence her approach to faith development continues to have in the UU community and in other faith communities as well that are striving to be more progressive, justice-oriented, and inclusive. An example of her enduring influence is the Faas Collaborative at the Meadville Lombard Theological School. The Meadville Lombard School, as many of you know, is one of the two most prominent training grounds for UU ministers. The Faas Collaborative there seeks to carry forward, quote, the historical mandate of 20th century Unitarian religious educator Sophia Lyon-Faas, whose approach to religious education marked a radical departure from traditional content and methods. The collaborative, quote, supports religious workers who want to infuse religious and ethical qualities into every aspect of their social and justice-making lives. But what was so revolutionary and significant about Sophia Faas's approach to religious education? How does that approach prepare us to appreciate the religious and ethical dimensions of all human experience? Now, I can answer those questions just by pointing out that UUs have pretty much abandoned the term religious education in favor of faith development. That's not just a gratuitous matter of semantics, folks. It's a monumental shift in how we develop and ultimately practice our faith. Religious education, as Faas herself experienced it as a child, of a Presbyterian missionary serving in China, has come to represent learning that is dogmatic, static, externally derived, and exclusive. Faith development has come to signify learning that's pragmatic, dynamic, self-derived, and inclusive. Its content is not dogma developed by some ancient culture and that claims to exist outside of human culture and above and beyond natural and human history. Its goal is not to instill in the faithful a limited, one-size-fits-all set of beliefs. No, the goal of faith development in our faith community is to explore the realm of personal belief, its roots and consequences, and to assimilate as content the lived experience of human beings responding to the world they face in the here and now. Foss took ideas about education pioneered by her teacher and later colleague, John Dewey, the American philosopher and education reformer. She applied those ideas to children's faith development. She insisted, for example, that faith development begins with the child's firsthand experience and understanding of the world, and progresses continually toward connecting that experience with the experience of people in all lands and in all ages. Foss believed that, quote, people of all times and places had the same wonderings about elemental things, unquote. They were the same wonderings she found her children had, the same wonderings our children have. Constructing this web of connections, she believed, continues throughout life. Her pioneering 1959 work, From Long Ago in Many Lands, was a first step in realizing her dream of introducing children to those ageless and universal wonderings. And her method was to expose children to these wonderings through story, inquiry, and social interaction. John Dewey believed that children learn best by doing, and when they can relate what they're doing and learning to their own experience of life. He also believed they needed to develop rational problem solving and social skills to enable them to thrive in an open, democratic society. As a proponent of this educational philosophy, Foss created learning strategies that engaged children in storytelling and hands-on activities and promoted dialogue with teachers and with fellow students. They weren't just listeners, they were participants. She aspired to connect their life experiences to life lessons and to the cycles of life and the circle of humanity. She constantly looked for new ways to facilitate connection. I found it so revealing that in her 1965 work, Worshiping Together with Questioning Minds, she laments a missed opportunity in her sixth grade class. Wendell, one of her students, had piped up, "Someone says that if you boiled all the chemicals in your body down and sold them, they'd be worth only 7 cents. It's the way you're put together that's the hard part." And Jimmy, another student, added, "Just chemicals can't have children." This incident led Foss to imagine what possibilities could have been explored. We might have, she imagined, filled a table with containers holding samples of the different chemical elements in one human body. What dynamic questions might have been awakened? How reverently we would have felt as together we stood before the great mystery of life. Generalizing from that missed opportunity, she writes, "We need not labor to reach up into another realm to feel the touch of infinity. Although it is far off, yet it is also nearer than hands or feet. We can never know anything, even the most microscopic bit of matter or protoplasm, without facing what eludes our understanding and even our imagination." She then quotes Rufus Jones, one of the most widely respected Quaker leaders and authors in her day. who said, "There is more yet in our very being." And she adds, "There is a more yet in every being, in everything. It is really not strange that what mankind has believed is in a supernatural realm can already be here in the natural." So you can see that while Fah's approach to faith development was empirical, it aspired to be holistic and visionary. In that same work, Worshiping Together with Questioning Minds, she proposed four revisions we need to make in our personal attitudes and philosophies if in our generation we're to keep our hearts and minds working in harmony together. First, she wrote, is the greater emphasis we need to put on understanding inner feelings, especially motivations and unconscious assumptions. Second, is the significance of learning to face life's issues realistically and understandingly. Third, is the need not only for a natural humanism, but also for a religious naturalism that brings the whole of nature into the area of ethical concern and religious appreciation. And finally, the need to question concrete bits of reality until we feel the nearness of the universal. If we adopt these habits of heart and mind, she believed, we are left with a feeling of the greatness of our unknowing and with the need for a continuing questioning attitude of mind. This continuous questioning leads, of course, to the concept of lifelong faith development, of the need to keep on wondering, keep on questioning, continuing throughout our lives to determine what's worthy of belief and how can we translate belief into action. Faith development, UU style, is a lifelong learning process, a continuous process facilitated by supportive, questioning people, a process that engages us where we are and encourages us to discover in the here and now what connects us to the everywhere and the always. This process continually renews and reinforces what connects us to the universal source and spirit of life. That process connects us to the experience of that universal source by people of all ages, in all ages, by those living and worshiping across the street and around the world. And in experiencing connection to the timeless, ageless web of existence, we realize, as Sophia Foss did, that our faith needs to leave the building, so to speak. That is, we need to take our faith with us as we leave the sanctuary, the safety and security of our physical or virtual four walls, to confront the realities of life on Earth. We are called upon to engage with the world, engage in the continuing struggle for justice and peace. If you're paying any attention to what's happening in the world around us just in the past week, you know that struggle is far from over. In many ways, I say with great, great sadness, it seems like it's only just begun. But that's why more than ever, we need faith development as Sophia insisted it would be, a continuing, concerted, individual, and collective endeavor to put religious and ethical qualities into all kinds of experience, to put religious and ethical qualities into all kinds of experience. So may it be, and amen. The time's come now in our service for matters of the heart, a time for us to share joys that might be lifting our spirit up, sorrows that might be weighing our spirit down, or some gleaning or response to the material you've just heard in the service so far. While you think on those matters, Isaac Strader will play a brief interlude. And then when we return, you'll have an opportunity to share.
Start general sharing. I had a request from Anne and Mike Berkheimer. They wanted to say a few words. So please go ahead with the process of putting your hands up, but we're going to go ahead and let Anne and Mike start.
As a member of the board, I just wanted to say it is with profound gratitude that we remember Lizzie Vena's time as director of Lifespan Religious Education. I wish to speak very briefly here on her work on adult faith development. One of the pluses of being a UU is the questioning of ideas instead of dogma, and adult education is a big part of that. Now, Ms. Vena has been part of that for years with her leading book discussions, small groups, and Friday night fellowships. Another big part of what is appealing to being a UU to me is the creating of community. You know, today we live in these automatized worlds where we often don't realize how important real social health is to all of us. Ms. Vena has worked very hard creating opportunities to have community in having creative activities such as field trips. So we will miss her work here, and we all wish her well in future endeavors. Thank you.
So this is Anne Rostowski, and I'm speaking this morning on behalf of the Children's Faith Development. Lizzie has been with us for a number of years. There are many things that Lizzie did that we will really miss. She provided many interesting lessons and activities for our children. Lizzie made the life of the children's faith development teachers much easier. She chose the curricula, provided the weekly lessons, and all the materials. She kept track of our credentials and attendance of the youth. She started the youth group again and kept it going. Lizzie was always ready with an engaging moment for all ages during the Sunday services. She really brought the Martin Luther King Day of Service at TPUF to an extraordinary level. Best wishes to you in the future, Lizzie. And now you'll hear from some of the children from our program.
Hi.
Okay, your turn.
Didn't hear it, but I thought you had
it. Go ahead.
Miss Lizzie, thank you for all the fun activities in the class. My favorites are when we make Play-Doh.
What are your favorites?
When I made bird seed.
Okay. Excellent.
I made it with sticky pizza.
Now it's better.